Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Joining me, regular contributor Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Ben White with Politico. And this week, the debate in Congress over whether or not to give the president authorization to take military action in Syria crowded out talk of just about every other issue. And it looks like the ongoing debates and pending votes will stay front and center in the weeks ahead. And here we thought we were going to talk about issues like funding the government, raising the debt limit, picking a new boss for the Federal Reserve, immigration reform. Any of these topics could fill out the calendar for the rest of the fall. So, Ben, when you look at this debate that's going on over Syria, does it change the dynamic of, for example, the budget negotiations?
It absolutely changes the dynamic. Mainly, it changes the timing, first of all. This was supposed to happen when Congress came back this coming week, September the 9th. We were supposed to talk about how we fund the government, you know, in October. And going forward, we can't do that now because we'll be debating Syria. So it gets compressed. I think there's a way for Congress to say, you know, let's push this off for a couple of months. We'll keep the government running, maybe raise the debt ceiling for a little while we debate Syria and deal with the aftermath of Syria. But it just means they're going to have to deal with it at some point. It'll be December, maybe it'll be January, but none of this stuff is going away. And if the Syria debate gets really rancorous and say the president loses a couple of these votes, it just makes it all the more hard to raise the debt ceiling and fund the government.
But it sounds like maybe that could be a good thing in some aspects, that at least we get the government funded for a short period of time and we don't have these cantankerous debates, but maybe it's a bad thing because we're still just kicking the can?
Yeah, we're kicking the can. And I mean, really, it all depends on how the debate on Syria goes. And is it really partisan and poisonous? And do votes fail? And does that leave us, when we're done with this debate, whenever that is, in a much more partisan atmosphere? Imagine it's hard to get more partisan than Washington is now, but we could get there. And if we do, it makes debt ceiling harder. It makes the resolution funding the government harder. We could punt down the road, but it doesn't get any easier after the punt.
Totally. And, you know, how many messy situations can you be in at once? You know, imagine if we had some sort of a terrible situation in Syria where we had a conflict that dragged on, then you've got the partisan environment. But, you know, I will say that I think it could mean interesting things for sequester funds because, you know, if you get a situation where we're involved in a longer term military action, then you might start seeing Republicans be a little more willing to open up some of that the sequester money. You know, you would have a situation where you couldn't be doing military cuts at the same time that you're doing a military action.
This is the issue that there's been cuts to the Defense Department budget.
That's right.
That if there were some sort of action taken in Syria, we might actually see some of the reversals of that or stop future cuts.
I think so. And, you know, those cuts are the majority of some of that sequester money. So I think that could make a big difference in budget debates.
But why is it that Congress doesn't seem to be able to, like, walk and chew gum at the same time? That, you know, we can debate Syria, but we can't talk about anything else at the same time. Why this inability?
Well, I think Congress can barely accomplish anything. So the idea that you could have a debate over the use of force in Syria while at the same time talking about funding the government, raising the debt ceiling, it's just not enough bandwidth there. And people, the partisan level is so high that every single thing needs full attention of everyone to get anything through. So you're going to have all the debate about Syria and nothing else. And on sequester, I would tend to generally agree that in theory, it would have Republicans keen to restore some defense spending. But those defense hawks on the right, there are not as many of them as there used to be. The prevailing power in the Republican Party is the Tea Party power that says cut spending over everything else, no matter what we're doing. And to get them to reverse that, for the House majority to come back and vote and say, forget about the sequester. We don't need it because we're sending a few bombs into Syria. It's hard for me to see that happening.
But Rana, talk to me about, I want to know what happens to the U.S. economy if we decide to take military action in Syria, or even if we don't, do you think we'll see some long-term effects on U.S. economic growth in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, I actually think that it may have an impact on what the Fed does in the next few months. One of the big debates that's been out there is when the Fed is going to stop its asset buying program, when it's going to start tapering that multi-billion dollar a month asset buying program. And, you know, as you remember, just a few weeks ago, even just a hint that they might stop it at some point in the fall riled markets. And you've seen huge effect in emerging markets because of that. So I think that if you've got a military action with a very uncertain ending in Syria, you've got the budget debates, I think you may see a more dovish dovish Fed. I think you may see folks willing to continue that asset buying program a little bit longer.
Dovish meaning that they're willing to keep the programs that have been out there going for a
while. That's right. I don't think that you're going to see anybody rushing, despite strong economic data that would argue for cutting back. You may see people saying, you know, let's keep these money spigots going a little bit longer because we don't want to see the markets being riled at the time when there's all this other uncertainty.
You know, there's a lot of talk in all of this that the president's credibility is on the line, that he's using up all his political capital on Syria, like he's got a bank account and he only has like $100 in there of capital that he can use. If you accept this premise, what does this do to his ability to negotiate on these other issues, on the debt ceiling, on his choice for the Federal Reserve?
I think one interesting part of that is on the left for President Obama. If we get to the Syria votes and they're very close and he needs liberal Democrats who would normally be doves, would not want to go to war to vote in favor of this in order to get it over the top, is he going to come back to them 3 weeks later and say, okay, you also have to vote for Larry Summers, who a lot of liberal Democrats think is too in bed with Wall Street, not strong enough on regulation? That's going to be hard for him to do. I think he might still do it and might still try to force it, but that is limited capital on the left. And in terms of losing the votes, Republicans already don't fear this president very much. They don't think he's got a lot of sway with the public. If he loses votes on Syria, there's just really no reason for them to cut a deal with him.
Well, in the little time that we have left, what are some of the other stories, if there is anything else out there that you are paying attention to in the weeks ahead? Rana?
Well, I've been thinking about the upcoming German elections and the Eurozone crisis.
Which is coming at the end of this month.
It's coming at the end of September. And I think that there are some really interesting interplays going on there. You can see Chancellor Merkel's popularity rise and fall based on the spread between German and Greek debt. So basically, when Greece looks shakier, her popularity starts to go down. And when it looks better, it goes up. Well, the IMF has been saying that Greece is not looking so great. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see how the fortunes of that country economically affect the political results in Germany.
Ben, what are you watching?
I'm also watching Europe. It looks like growth there is getting a little bit better, which would be good for the United States. But there's no way to get away from the Syria story. It's the only story right now. And everything flows from what happens in Congress with the Syria votes and then what happens with strikes. Do we strike? How does Assad respond if we do? And I think that could have a big impact on the debate on the debt ceiling, on funding the government and the economy going forward. I think it's the only story in town right now, and we can't predict anything else without finding out what happens in Syria.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast, available for free on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Ben White with Politico. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.